Welcome and Shabbat blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening on other devices and later on recording, Shabbat blessing, everyone. Can you all hear me? I just want to make sure that the internet is really working.
We can hear you. My God.
Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. This is our review of our chapter 85, entitled By the Sea Once More, part 2, on the Sabbath, April 5th, 2025, of our lesson 431. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to cover our dear brother day. If anyone of the dear brethren would like to be able to sing the tiny tot theme hymn entitled To God Be the Glory, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our one joy, will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents, to open their section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy. Please protect my uncles. Please protect my other uncles. Please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. And please protect the people who's in the Sabbath and who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect the Sabbath, the people who are joining the Sabbath now, the people who are sick that can't join the Sabbath. And please protect everybody that I know in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little ones. This is the time that we're going to hear all the blessing that the little one has been in the household or in any other area in their life. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommies and daddies, little helpers, would like to highlight both Haley and Emma by God's grace for their continued wanting to learn about Christ. For their prayers are getting so much more intentional, and we praise the Lord for it, dear Father God. It shows that they're being observant and that they are wanting to pray not just for themselves, but for others and those that they see around them. And that is a blessing for those they're praying for and for me as their parent to witness as well. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other remnant family that would like to be able to share the little blessings that the little one has been in their home? May you unmute your mic. We will continue, dear ones, and we will have another opportunity in the part of the testimony if you would like to share. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It's story times, little one, so let's have a listening ear. And I will ask any one of the dear brethren that would like to cover for our dear brother there to be able to share the review section of their story. And we are in chapter 24. This is a new chapter entitled Death of Christ in a Story of Jesus lesson book.
The Bible is strong. The Bible verse for our lessons are taken from the book of Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the works of my ruin? It's actually in Matthew 27, and verses 45 to 46 says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Continuing the reading. And this is taken from chapter 24, The Death of Christ. In yielding up his precious life, Christ was not upheld by triumphant joy. His heart was rent with anguish and oppressed with gloom. But it was not the fear or the pain of death that caused his suffering. It was the crushing weight of the sin of the world, a sense of separation from his Father's love. This was what broke the Savior's heart and brought his death so soon. And that's taken from The Story of Jesus, page 145, paragraph 1, and continuing. Christ felt the woe that sinners will feel when they awake to realize the burden of their guilt, to know that they have forever separated themselves from the joy and peace of heaven. Angels beheld with amazement the agony of despair borne by the Son of God. His anguish of mind was so intense that the pain of the cross was hardly felt. Nature itself was in sympathy with the scene. The sun shone clearly until midday, when suddenly it seemed to be blotted out. All about the cross was darkness as deep as the blackest midnight. This supernatural darkness lasted fully 3 hours. And this is again from The Story of Jesus, paragraph one, page 145. And continuing, a nameless terror took possession of the multitude. The cursing and reviling ceased. Men, women, and children fell upon the earth in object terror. Lightnings occasionally flashed forth from the cloud and revealed the cross and the crucified Redeemer. All thought that their time of retribution had come. At the ninth hour, the darkness lifted from the people, but still wrapped the Savior with him as with a mantle. The lightning seemed to be hurled at him as he hung upon the cross. It was then that he sent up the despairing cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And next Sabbath, I'll leave that for Titi Rosie to go ahead and tell us where we will continue. Thank you so very much for your participation.
Amen. Praise the Lord, dear sister, and thank you. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of our lesson entitled, The Death of Christ, in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place April 12, 2023. And we are going to bubble down to let any one of our dear brethren to help us with the review to share with the children.
Okay, for the review, question number one is, what broke the Savior's heart?
The answer to number one is the crushing weight of the world's sin and the separation from his father's love.
Amen. Good. That was a good answer. Number two is, what did Christ feel as sinners will do when awakened to realize their guilt?
The answer to number two is to know that they have forever separated themselves from the joy and peace of heaven.
Amen. Amen. Number three is, how long did the darkness as deep as the blackest midnight fully last?
The answer to number three is 3 hours.
Amen. Good answer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother and little ones and mommies as well. It's time for our tiny talks and parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. This is our review of our topic, Moms of the Bible. So let's have a listening ear, dear ones, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
Shabbat blessings, everyone. Today we'll be reviewing the body of lesson three, the body of a horse. We'll be going through the spiritual lesson before the nature lesson. And the memory verse for the whole story is Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the character quality of the story, industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of working hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book FBL Year 2, Core 4, Lesson 6, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil. Matthew 13, verse 5 says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And verse 20 to 21 says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Yes. Stony places. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for in tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Matthew 13:5, verses 20 to 21. The seed sown upon stony ground finds little depth of soil. The plant then springs up quickly, but the root cannot penetrate the rock to find nutriment to sustain its growth, and it soon perishes. Many who make a profession of religion are stone ground hearers. Like the rock underlying the lay of earth, the selfishness of the natural heart underlies the soil of their good desires and aspirations. The love of self is not subdued. They have not seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the heart has not been humbled under a sense of its guilt. This class may be easily convinced and appear to be bright converts, but they have only a superficial religion. Christ's Object Lessons, page 46. And above this picture of these corn, urn, and corn stalk, seeds need depth and good soil so the plant can grow. Corn, cucumber, and their seeds. Do you have only a superficial religion? Well, let's hope not. And below it says, it takes industrious labor to subdue self. Have you moved all the stones from the garden of your heart? And it says, your corn, cucumbers, and their seeds. The seed sown upon stony ground finds little depth of soil. The plant springs up quickly, but the root cannot penetrate the rock to find nutriment to sustain its growth, and it soon perishes. Again, many who make a profession of religion are stony ground hearers. Like the rock underlying the lay of earth, the selfishness of the natural heart underlies the soil of their good desires and aspirations. The love of self is not subdued. They have not seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the heart has not been humbled under a sense of its guilt. This class may be easily convinced and appear to be bright converts, but they have only a superficial religion. Christ's Object Lessons, page 46. And what can we learn from our nature walker experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Hear from Brother Bob, we see he held a snake, and the classified species is the rubber boa, whose scientific name is Charina bate. But it's not venomous. It says here, rubber boas, also known as the coastal and northern rubber boas, are one of the most beautiful and unique boa species. They belong to the Charina genus, which includes only one more snake, the southern rubber boa. Native to most of North America, the species has a shiny, rubbery appearance, earning its name. Rubber boas are arguably the least threatening to humans of all snakes. Though they have teeth, they are never known to bite or strike, or even when cornered. They make good pets and don't mind being handled and cuddled. The species is often used to help people slightly afraid of snakes overcome their fear. Their habitats are meadows, grasslands, chaparral, deciduous, coniferous, and alpine forests. This can be found under logs, rocks, and rodent burrows. They cannot tolerate high temperatures, but can withstand in cold climates better than other snakes. Being highly adaptable, they're good at climbing, swimming, and digging burrows. They brumate during in winter in burrows and abandon dens. Nature, the bodies of snakes. Even snakes have different shapes, like the rubber boa. For instance, the Gaboon viper of Africa has a thick, heavy body, while certain tree snakes have very long, thin bodies that look like vines. And the bodies of sea snakes are flattened from side to side. In most kinds of snakes, the shape of the body and the appearance of males and females are much the same. Sometimes one or the other may be larger. As the snakes have different shapes, so our characters also need shaping. No higher work was ever committed to mortals than the shaping of character. Child Guidance, page 163. The blind man was to go through a trial that would certainly shape his character. The body of a snake is covered with dry scales that can be smooth or rigid. Most snakes have scales that overlap and stretch apart. The scaly skin of snakes consists of two layers. The inner layer of skin has cells that grow and divide. The cells die as they are pushed outward by new cells. The dead cells become the outer layer of skin. When the outer layer of skin becomes worn, it is shed. This is called molting. Before it molts, the snake is less active than usual. The skin loosens around the mouth and head first as it rubs its nose on an uneven surface. The snake then crawls out of its old skin and turns it inside out in the process. The blind man lost his blindness like a snake losing its skin. He then began to see the things of God more clearly. Continuing, then we have Virgil's picture of the red moon, or Sister Grace, but this picture of the red moon eclipse, or better known as a lunar eclipse. And it says above the picture in Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. One of the signs given by the moon is recorded in Matthew 24:29-30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This sign has already appeared, so we know for sure that the Lord's coming is near. Other texts that speak of this moon sign include Luke 21:25-27 and Joel 2:30-31, which says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. This sign was fulfilled on May 19, 1780. A full moon gave no light the night following the famous dark day when the sun did not shine. During the latter part of the night, the moon finally came into view, but it had the appearance of blood. It can remind us how the church, represented by the moon, suffered from martyrdom during the tribulation period which had just passed. All these signs remind us that the judgment is about to close. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Review, taken from our youth study book, Christ Object Lesson, Chapter 2, The Sower Forth to Sow, Part 4, In Stony Places. He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For in tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Christ Object Lessons, page 46, paragraph 2. The seed sown upon stony ground, and finds little depth of soil, the plant springs up quickly, but the root cannot penetrate the rock to find nutriment to sustain its growth. It soon perishes. Many who make a profession of religion are stony ground hearers. Like the rock underlying the layer of earth, the selfishness of the natural heart underlies the soul of their good desires and aspirations. The love of self is not subdued. They have not seen exceeding sinfulness of sin, and the heart has not been humbled under a sense of its guilt. This class may be easily convinced and appear to be bright converts, but they have only a superficial religion. Christ's Object Lessons, page 46, paragraph 3. It is not because men receive the word immediately, but because they rejoice in it, that they fall away. As soon as Matthew heard the Savior's call, immediately he rose up, left all, and followed him. As soon as the divine word comes to our hearts, God desires us to receive it, and it is right to accept it with joy. Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented. Luke 15:7. And there is joy in the soul that believes on Christ. But those who in the parable are said to receive the word immediately do not count the cost. They do not consider what the word of God requires of them. They do not bring it face to face with all their habits of life, and yet yield themselves fully to its control. Christ's Object Lessons, page 46, paragraph 4. The roots of the plant strike down deep into the soil and hidden from sight nourish the life of the plant. So with the Christian, it is by invisible union with the soul with Christ, of the soul with Christ, through faith, that the spiritual life is nourished. But the stony ground hearers depend upon self instead of Christ. They trust in their good works and good impulses and are strong in their own righteousness. They are not strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Such a one hath not root in himself, for he is not connected with Christ. Christ's Object Lessons, page 47, paragraph 1. The hot summer sun that strengthens and ripens the hard, earthy grain destroys that which has no depth of root. So he who hath not rooted himself dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. May we see the gospel as a way of escape from suffering rather than as a deliverance from sin. They rejoice for a season, for they think that religion will free them from difficulty and trial. While life moves smoothly with them, they may appear to be consistent Christians, but they faint beneath the fiery test of temptation. They cannot bear reproach for Christ's sake. When the Word of God points out some cherished sin or requires self-denial, self-sacrifice, they are offended. It would cost them too much effort to make a radical change in their life. They look at the present inconvenience and trial and forget the eternal realities. Like the disciples with Jesus, they are ready to say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" John 6:60, Christ's Object Lessons, page 47, paragraph 2. And our three bonus questions or review, you can find the answers in both in the book or in the Bible. One, where did some more seeds fall? The answer is in Matthew 13:5. Two, did they grow? The answer is also in Matthew 13:5. And three, explain Matthew 13:5. And the explanation is in Matthew 13 verses 20 to 21. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. Forgive for the computer was moving too fast, so I ask forgiveness for that. And remember, little ones, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Pictures of Man. You can find it in the hymn book number 500 if you would like to join us in the singing, dear ones. You may unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Hear Christ calling, come on to me, come on to me, come on to me. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open a review section of our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy and my uncles and my uncles. Please protect people who are here and people who are not here. Please protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, little one. Our opening scripture for a review lesson is taken from our study book entitled The Desire of Ages. This is volume 1 of the Memory Verse CD for 1 Peter 1, 18-19, King James with margin.
For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things and silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, and without spot as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 18th and 19th verses.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have learned this week? We're going to take a few minutes to reread part 1 of our lesson of our part 2 of our chapter. The title is By the Sea Once More in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone would like to take the first paragraph, may you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 810. They were too much amazed to question him whence he came, the fire and the food. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have caught, now caught. Peter rushed for the net which he had dropped and helped his brethren drag it to the shore. After the work was done and the preparation made, Jesus bade the disciples come and dine. Next slide, please.
Continuing, he broke the food and divided it among them, and was known and acknowledged by all the seven. The miracle of feeding the 5,000 on the mountainside was now brought to their minds, but a mysterious awe was upon them, and in silence they gazed. Upon the risen Savior. Desire of Ages, 810, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 810. Vividly they recall the scene beside the sea when Jesus had bidden them follow him. They remembered how, at his command, they had launched out into the deep and had let down their net, and the catch had been so abundant as to fill the net, even to breaking. Then Jesus had called them to leave their fishing boats and had promised to make them fishers of men. Next slide, please. I'll bubble down.
It was to bring this scene to their minds and to deepen the impression that he had again performed the miracle. His act was a renewal of the commission to the disciples. It showed them that the death of their master had not lessened their obligation to do the work he had assigned them. Though they were to be deprived of his personal companionship and of the means of support by their former employment. Next slide, please.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 810. The risen Savior would still have a care for them. While they were doing his work, he would provide for their needs. And Jesus had a purpose in bidding them cast their net on the right side of the ship. On that side, he stood upon the shore. That was the side of faith. If they labored in connection with him, his divine power combined with their human effort, they cannot fail success. Desire of Ages, page 110, paragraph 5.
Another lesson Christ had to give, relating especially to Peter. Peter's denial of his Lord had been in shameful contrast to his former professions of loyalty. He had dishonored Christ and had incurred the distrust of his brethren. They thought he would not be allowed to take his former position among them, and he himself thought that he had forfeited his trust. Next slide, please. And then I'll bubble down so someone else can read.
Desire of Ages, page 811. Continuing. Before being called to take up again his apostolic work, he must before them all give evidence of his repentance. Without this, his sin, though repented of, might have destroyed his influence as a minister for Christ. The Savior gave him opportunity to regain confidence of his brethren and, so far as possible, to remove the reproach he had brought upon the gospel.
The Desire of Ages, page 811. Here is given a lesson for all Christ's followers. The gospel makes no compromise with evil. It cannot excuse sin. Secret sins are to be confessed in secret to God, but for open sin, open confession is required. The reproach of the disciples' sin is cast upon Christ. It causes Satan to triumph and wavering souls to stumble. By giving proof of repentance, the disciples so far as lies in his power is to remove this reproach. The desire of age is page 811, paragraph 2. And it says, as on the left, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, Romans 2:16, and says in Psalm 98, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance.
While Christ and the disciples were eating together by the seaside, the Savior said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Referring to his brethren. Peter had once declared, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Matthew 26:33. But he now put a truer estimate upon himself. Yea, Lord, he said, thou knowest that I love thee. And on the side, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Next slide, please.
Continuing, there is no vehement assurance that his love is greater than that of his brethren. He does not express his own opinion of his devotion. To him who can read all the motives of the heart, he appeals to judge as to his sincerity. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus bids him, feed my lambs. From the Desire of Ages, page 811, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Now we are going to sing the scripture song that will help us to be able to edify the little ones by the answer or anything you would like to share. So let us consider our verse for our review answer taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see the screen, I will read the questions. And if you're moved to be able to hear your answer, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the chat or even use your mic, who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute the mic?
Number one, the main characters is Christ and his disciples meet for the first time after his resurrection.
Number two, I believe that it is the restoration of Peter, to, because of his, fall when he denied Christ, and also to remind the disciples of the true meaning, and setting them forth on the, on their journey of spreading the gospel.
I think number three, are we at three now?
Yes.
Okay. And number three, I think it took place by the lakeside. I think by the lakeside because they were pulling in their fish and the Lord met them there, I think.
I will give a little clue. Remember the title of our chapter. Where did he meet them?
By the seaside.
The answer.
Go ahead, Josh.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin?
It's okay. He couldn't find his note, but I will give you another clue. Remember when they were trying to go back to their old jobs and their profession? Mm-hmm. What happened?
I was going to say this is after the resurrection of Christ, and he had appeared to them several times, and they were going back to their old ways of being. And so Peter wanted to go back out to his old profession, which is fishing. And so the Lord appeared to them again, here for another time on the seaside.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So who would like to answer number five?
I can kind of relate to that because when I kind of got disappointed with what I thought was going to be what the Lord was going to do, and it really wasn't. So I got disappointed and I went back to doing whatever it was that I was going to go do because that was the thing to do. So I kind of relate to it. I kind of relate to it like that, like, you know, getting a bit disappointed at what I thought was supposed to happen. And so therefore I went off and did what I thought was, okay, let me go back to what I was.
Does anybody else would like to be able to share their answer to number five? Maybe I'll mute your mic.
I would like to try. So by the Lord performing the miracle of the fishes a second time, it was a symbol of, or symbolic in the way how he will provide for the disciples as long as they were doing his work, and also that they were also going to be fishers of men. And also sometimes we need that redirection and more clarification as to the work that we are going to be doing. And we need to be, and we need to get reminders from the Lord. Yes, this is the way you will be walking. And sometimes we question and we want to be clear as to what it is that we're going to do. And so we seek the Lord and he shows us without any question, yes, this is the road I would like for you to go in, and this is the work that I would like for you to do. And that's all I relate.
Thank you for sharing, dear sister. We have a text in the chat from a dear sister. She said, I can relate also because I too went towards what I thought the Lord wanted me to do, but things did not work out as fast as I was hoping, so I went back to what I know. Is there anybody else besides that would like to be able to share this number? We are in number 5 still. Who would like to take number 6, dear ones?
What I learned from the lesson is how continuously God has been merciful to his disciples as well as to us today. We see that not once, not twice, but I think 3 times now that he has appeared, and not just appeared to them in their time of uncertainty, but he's also came and served them. He prepared a meal for them, which was a blessing. And that's how the Lord will work for us too. We only have to continue to seek him with all our hearts and our minds, and not to lean upon our own understanding. So there was a abundance of lessons in this very act of him meeting them at the seaside once more.
So true. Here's one more text about dear sister. She said, I learned that we should trust the Lord more and not our own works. Amen. I would like to share what I have observed, not only in this lesson, but in life, when it comes to, as Christians, when we had gave ourselves by taking the call, an election tour, by becoming baptized, we forget that no longer our lives will be ruled by us. We have to come to the feet of Jesus and say, here we are. Because without not really realizing a lot of things that the Lord had led us in our profession before we became Christians, these things were like a schoolmaster. Notice that in the lesson, they were fishermen. And when the Lord was ready for them, he called them to be able to now manifest what it was that he had taught them through just with the type, which is just fishing. Now the Lord was going to give them the true work that they needed to have, that the fish was just the object, but what he wanted them to be able to get is souls to bring them to the kingdom. And when the Lord resurrected, the beauty that I saw in this lesson is how he was assuring them before he will be taken to heaven. He was letting them know different things that they had in their thought or in their mind. They maybe didn't realize that the Lord was actually aware and acquainted with it, that he was touching every single one of them. And at the same time, he was restoring, he was reconciling. But the beauty is the Lord's hand was accomplishing these things even without they even know that the Lord was doing that to prepare them for there was first learners, which there were disciples, but now he was preparing them to become ambassadors, which is apostle, to give the gospel and to strengthen them as well. And to let them know that it doesn't matter where they were, he was going to be with them. And the same way how he labored among them, that they can be able to look and remember how he did while he was here on earth, and they can be able to carry them all of these lessons that they got through his life. They could be able to do so, and he will be with them until the very end. That's what I have learned and observed, and I'm so thankful that he's still doing the same today with us. Even though things might seem uncertain, things might seem completely out of balance, but just remember that disappointment and all these things that happen to us is the greatest opportunity for the Lord to manifest himself, and that's what I have learned with this, not only this part two, but this particular chapter. If there's anyone else that would like to share their ones. Otherwise, we are going to continue. Thank you so much, dear ones, for all your input. We will share thoughts and poem and also special music that will be shared by Brother Josh. The thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha. This is chapter 83. The title is Proof Against Every Temptation. The reflection title is The Temptation. Our opening scripture is taken from Romans 6, 13 and 14, and it reads, Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
There is but one power that can break the hold of evil from the heart of men, and that is the power of God in Jesus Christ. His grace alone can enable us to resist and subdue the tendencies of our fallen nature. Maranatha 91, paragraph 2.
The infinite value of the sacrifice required for our redemption reveals the fact that sin is a tremendous evil. Through sin, the whole human organism is deranged. The mind is perverted, the imagination corrupted. Sin has degraded the faculties of the soul. Temptations from without find an answering chord within the heart, and the feet turn imperceptibly toward evil. As the sacrifice in our behalf was complete, so our restoration from the defilement of sin is to be complete. There is no act of wickedness that the law will excuse. There is no unrighteousness that will escape its condemnation. The life of Christ was a perfect fulfillment of every fact, precept of the law. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments. John 15:10.
His life is our standard of obedience and service. Maranatha, page 91, paragraph 3. And continuing on paragraph 4 and 5. Today, Satan presents the same temptations that he presented to Christ, offering us the kingdoms of the world in return for our allegiance. But upon him who looks to Jesus as the author and finisher of his faith, Satan's temptations have no power. He cannot cause to sin the one who will accept by faith the virtues of him who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The expulsion of sin is the act of the soul itself. True, we have no power to free ourselves from Satan's control. But when we desire to be set free from sin, and in our great need, cry out for a power out of and above ourselves, The powers of the soul are imbued with the divine energy of the Holy Spirit, and they obey the dictates of the will in fulfilling the will of God. Amen.
God will have a people zealous of good works, standing firm amid the pollutions of the degenerate age. There will be a people who hold so fast to the divine strength that they will be proof against every temptation. Maranatha, page 91, paragraph 6. Reflection, Romans 6:14, King James Version. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus rested upon the wisdom and strength of his heavenly Father. He declares, "The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Behold, the Lord God will help me." Pointing to his own example, he says to us, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" That walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Isaiah 57-10. The Desire of Ages, page 123, paragraph 2.
Christ's humanity was united with divinity. He was fitted for the conflict by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he came to make us partakers of the divine nature. So long as we are united to him by faith, sin has no more dominion over us. God reaches for the hand of faith in us to direct it to lay fast hold upon the divinity of Christ, that we may attain the perfection of character. Desire of Ages, 123, paragraph 3. Taken from our lesson book, Desire of Ages, page 123, paragraph 2 and 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessed hope, dear ones. And we have our poem. It's entitled, "For a Child Who Has Been Very Naughty." Children Bible Activity, Book Year 3, Quarter 2, Lesson 9, page 214, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Lord, I confess before thy face how naughty I have been. Look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, and pardon this, my sin.
Forgive my temper, Lord, I pray, my passion and my pride, the wicked words I dare to say, and wicked thoughts beside.
I cannot lay me down to rest in quiet on my bed, until with shame I have confessed the naughty things I have said.
The Savior answered not again, nor spoke an angry word to all the scoffs of wicked men, although he was their Lord.
And who am I, a sinful child, such angry words to say? Make me as mild as he was mild, and take my pride away.
For Jesus',
sake. Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead.
For Jesus' sake, forgive my crime and change this stubborn heart, and grant me grace another time to act a better part.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is a hymn entitled, "Yield Not to temptation, and our dear brother Josh will share.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight valiantly onward, evil passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, come for strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, come for strength and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we will conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you, he will carry you through.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If anyone would like to be able to share the testimony, you will have a few minutes to be able to say what it is you would like to share. Otherwise, we can be able to do that after the service or in between. We like to come up to the mic, dear ones. Well, I have a little small testimony. I don't want to take too much of the time. I would like to first thank each and every one of you for praying for my family that came traveling from Hawaii and also from Panama. Well, by God's grace, we were able to slightly share some of the things that we wanted to be able to share with them. That was a prayer that was being done for so many years, and we never even knew how the Lord was going to do it. And by God's grace, my uncle, which was military, and my aunt and my other uncle, these are the ones that had raised us when we was back in Panama. So I would like to just thank each and every one. Out of this little small travel, they are thinking to be able to do a larger family union, to be able to meet all the family and to continue on the restoring and the healing, and I thank God for such a time as this. They wanted to be able to travel to Ohio and the different state, but because of the circumstances, they could not be able to do so. But by God's grace, we're going to leave them in the hands of God, that he may continue to do what he does, and I pray that they will do the same for each and every one of us as well. So I just wanted to share that. So next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson, By the Sea, once more, in our study book, Desire of Ages. Who would like to share could be able to close with prayer? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the lessons, Father Jesus, and as we learn and see how merciful and loving you are towards us. We thank you for all the little ones and their participation. We pray in a special way for our brother Grave and his family and the circumstances. I pray that put a hedge around them, and Father Jesus, that they may sustain minimal, if any, damage at all, and to restore their internet be with others that may be in the same circumstances or even dire. Be with anyone that is sick or in pain or any kind of circumstances. I pray, Father Jesus, in this Sabbath day that you might bring help, that you might bring the things that they might need relief and pain or any other. Be with the little ones throughout this day. Continue to uplift them and continue to keep their minds stayed on you. Be with their parents as well. As we move into the other sections of our study, continue to be with us, Father Jesus. Continue to let down your light from the heaven so that we can learn more about you. Be with the speaker. Continue to give him the words to say and to speak. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for your love and mercy. Be with us for the rest of the day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be April the 12th, 2025. And we will continue with our lesson 432. And this will be part 3 of our chapter 85, entitled By the Sea Once More. Leaving the scripture and also a small quote from our Book of Maranatha. This is in page 74, paragraph 4. And our scripture is taken from 1 John 3:5, King James. And it reads, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." And from a quote, "By his perfect obedience, he had made it possible for every human being to be obedient." Sorry, let me read that back again. "By his perfect obedience, he has made it possible for every human being to obey God's commandments. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. When we submit ourselves to Christ, the heart is united with his heart. He will his merge in his will, and mind becomes one with his mind. The thoughts are brought into captivity to him. We live his life. This is what it means to be clothed with the garment of his righteousness. Then as the Lord looks upon us, he sees not the fig leaf garment, not the nakedness and deformity of sin, but his own robe of righteousness, which is perfect obedience to the law of Jehovah." Praise the Lord. May you all have a wonderful, blessed Sabbath, dear ones, and may you continue to pray for our dear brother and the rest of the family and loved ones that are struggling with weather. God bless everyone. Sabbath blessing.
And may the Lord bless you too, my dear Rose.
Sabbath blessing, my father. Likewise.